Black Notice. Chapter 4 of 5. Ty Holman, Copenhagen, Denmark. Felix stared at the picture of their murder suspect that had been sent to the criminal profiling specialists. The French technicians had worked for days to make the still images from the surveillance footage in the sportswear store in Calais as useful as possible. The suspect had a chiseled face, powerful jawline, and high forehead. And yet, he wasn't particularly noticeable. But the eyes looked strange. One pupil was so large that it completely covered the iris. The result was that it felt like staring into an abyss, or the eye of a reptile. He felt a pang of nausea at the thought of all the lives this man had ended prematurely and violently. If indeed this camera had caught the right man. The surveillance footage made it look as if the man's focus had been locked onto the young women in the store. So much so that he forgot to keep his head lowered for a moment. A lapse that might prove crucial to the investigation. The picture had also been sent to European news agencies and to border patrols and airports. But Felix still feared that he might slip through the net because of all the pressure on the borders. ID requirements in Scandinavia and the hunt for suspected ISIS fighters in France and Belgium were all severe drains on the resources. At least so the internal communication in law enforcement agencies would suggest. It was all deeply worrying. Felix examined the preliminary profile the Norwegian psychiatrist had compiled on the basis of the details of the case. The perpetrator was exceptionally intelligent, and between the age of 35 and 45. However, he was immature and impulsive. He had psychopathic and narcissist tendencies. Seemed extroverted, but was really a lone wolf, a loner. The surgical procedures performed on the women and the two-handed reef knot of the suture thread suggested a pathological desire to follow a ritual. The killer was assumed to have had severe childhood traumas with a weak maternal figure and a dominant father. Additionally, he had to have had training in some area of medicine. Ethnicity, Nordic, it said. There were several references to comparison with Breivik. Felix wondered if the Norwegians had a sort of Breivik complex, and if the profiling specialists possibly risk missing something important because they had already decided what psychological profile to suggest. On one hand, he could easily understand such a mechanism. But on the other hand, he had learnt from years of bitter experience that it was dangerous only to follow one trail or rely on one particular theory. Additionally, it seemed as if the French were clinging to the theory of racism as a motive. They could hardly be blamed for that, given the terrorist attacks against Paris, which had firmly established the fact that terrorism had arrived at the heart of Europe. Felix sighed and put the report on his desk. Something about the psychological profile didn't add up. Felix was sitting in a sparsely decorated waiting room at an optometrist's clinic. He was called into a large office by the eye doctor, who was a small and tidy-looking man. A framed alphabet hung on the wall, the letters getting progressively smaller. He realized that the three bottom lines were a blur to him, and reminded himself that he should have bought reading spectacles a long time ago.
"Thank you for seeing me at such short notice. Glad to be of service. What can I do for you?" "Please, look at this man's eyes."
He handed the doctor the picture of the suspect, who examined it for a while.
That is very pronounced,"
he mumbled to himself.
"I think it must be a mechanical anisocoria. Between 8 and 10 o'clock, if you imagine the eyeball as a clock."
Felix stared at the eye doctor in puzzlement.
"It seems that his pupils are not identical. One is not completely round. I think it must stem from an eye injury. They tend to be more rounded when it's congenital." "Is he blind in one eye, then?" "Not necessarily. He may have been lucky."